Hi, and welcome to our fourth episode of our special podcast series focused on medicinal herbs and their unique place in the holistic approach to health. Today, host and nutritionist Sarah LeBron-Blaschka talks with naturopath and medical herbalist Amanda Williams about the role of bitter herbs in digestion, blood sugar management, and more.
Today, I'm here with Dr. Amanda Williams, and I'm so excited for this conversation around bitters. And first, I want Dr. Williams, if you could give me just a little bit of background on, you know, how you got into naturopathic practice and, you know, what does your practice look like today?
Thanks, Sarah. I'm thrilled to be doing this with you, and hello to all the listeners. I am a naturopath and passionate herbalist based in Australia. My practice is in Brisbane, the capital of Queensland, Australia, and I've been in practice for over 20 years. These days, I mainly focus on female health, specifically sort of female endocrine health, autoimmune disease, and I'm absolutely mad for digestive health issues as well. I also do seminars in the United States and other countries for doctors, particularly focused on herbal medicine or botanical medicine. And as a consequence, I've worked really closely with the fabulous Professor Kerry Bone, or as I like to call him, the herbal guru, for in excess of 20 years, actually, and try to obviously pick Kerry's brain as much as possible to learn what I can from him, because he's simply a genius. But what really propelled me into this field of a career was, in my previous career, I was a corporate senior executive living and working all over the world. And whilst living in Japan, I absolutely got burnt out and became incredibly unwell with what I obviously discovered afterwards was it was chronic fatigue plus lots of other digestive issues and immune health issues. So I sought the help of traditional Japanese herbal medicine known as Kampo plus acupuncture and Ayurvedic medicine. And I was just shocked how quickly I recovered to optimal health again. So I completely changed my career. So I went from this senior corporate executive, you know, living the sort of crazy, busy, nonstop life, and moved to Australia. I'm originally from the United Kingdom, and started studying naturopathy and Western herbal medicine. And that then has sustained me for, well, over 25, 27 years now, which is quite shocking, to be in this just incredible movement of health, which we've seen over the last 10 years in particular, has really taken place on the main platform of the health options that we have in our society.
So I think, you know, your background is so interesting and how you got there, you know, and one of the topics that we wanted to discuss today is bitters. And, you know, I think probably throughout your experience, you had sought the use of bitters probably for some of your digestive health concerns. Mm. But can you give us a little history on bitter and bitter botanicals and, you know, how did they come about as part of this herbal medicine practice?
Yeah, sure. I am absolutely mad for bitter botanicals. So my patients all know that I'm crazy for them as well. So I want to start this bitter botanical revolution, I have to say, because they are so incredibly profound in their action. So what are they? Well, bitter botanicals, they might be known as bitters or bitter tonics, and they've been used for hundreds and hundreds of years as mostly a support for digestion. The custom in Europe, where I'm originally from, of having an aperitif or a bitter drink as a digestive aid to prime your digestion is really common in many countries still today. And you might have heard of Swedish bitters, for example, Well, this was an early modern compounded medicine made at apothecaries, the predecessor of our today's pharmacies. And the Swedish bitters were made in various different pharmacies with different recipes, but they would be at least about 60 different herbs. And one of the main bitters that we still use today is gentian. That was in the Swedish bitters, and even myrrh, the amazing herb for all sorts of parasites and infections. And even saffron was in this recipe. And they used to leave it, after making it, they used to leave it to ferment or age for about 6 months before being sold, because they thought it would potentize the bitters in it. And in Holland, even today, the older generation still have what's called the bitter hour in the early evening, when they enjoy bitter foods and bitter drinks to aid their declining digestion. And this custom was also in India and Africa. All of these traditions, long-held herbal traditions around the world, have used bitters. And it's very interesting to consider that even some of the beverages that we have today, many of the alcoholic beverages, began their roots in being a bitter tonic or an aperitif. For example, Campari was originally known as bitter Campari, and it was developed by an Italian cafe proprietor called Gaspar Campari. And he used to give it to diners in his restaurant as the aperitif before their meal. And in England, you can walk into a beautiful old pub and order a pint of bitter, which is real beer made from hops, which are another bitter tonic. And for many Americans, the daily bitter tonic is coffee, the vital daily beverage. So, you know, if you don't have it laced with pumpkin spice or caramel or vanilla, it's actually a bitter tonic. And other than that, today in our society, we've really sort of bred out the bitterness of foods and drinks. So it's gone through sort of a process where, in our societies, because we crave more in sweet and salty for the modern palate, we've debitterized lots of the foods in the manufacturing process or the agriculture process. And so this is a real problem for our digestive systems, because in botanical medicine, it's been a long-held tradition that good health begins in the gut, and bitter tonics were known to have very immediate effects on digestion. Even Pavlov was said to have acknowledged this connection between bitter tonics and aiding digestion. And Hippocrates, the renowned Greek physician born about 460 BCE, was considered to be the father of medicine by many of us. And he once said, you know, all disease begins in the gut. So even today, many of us as natural clinicians start our work with a new patient focusing on gut health. And just recently, I read a report that was produced actually in 2014 by the National Institutes of Digestion and Diabetes and Kidney Health. And they reported that over 100 million Americans have some type of digestive disorder. So if you think about that from your clinical practice, how many people, if you just started working on the gut when they come to see you in the beginning, how much more you could help resolve their multiple health issues if you just start there. And some of the key botanicals are really simple, but they're so effective. You know, things like gentian, wormwood, bitter melon from the Ayurvedic tradition, philodendron, which is the source of berberine, one of the most well-researched phytochemicals that we have today, and coleus, another fabulous bitter as well.
You know, I know that when I've traveled throughout Europe, I've always enjoyed the digestives and the aperitifs beforehand, and we often in my house also utilize them. And then, of course, you know, we utilize some of the great bitter supplements that are out there. But can you talk a little bit more on, you know, the aspects of how the bitters actually work in digestion and also in blood glucose management?
So how they work is really quite technical, but we'll aim to do a simple version of how they work.
Simple is great. Yes, yes.
Well, let's look at it from the clinical perspective first, and then we can get into the technical, I guess. They work really quickly. So if you're seeing a patient that has impaired digestive capacity of any level, so bloating, digestion, gas issues, you know, digestive spasm, slow digestion, bitters will work very quickly to enhance that. And I'll go through how in just a moment. Also, many of our patients are eating a very poor diet, right? It's the modern diet. They're eating on the run. They might not be getting their full spectrum of great vegetables to give them the nutrients that they need. So very often they're supplementing to try and make up for the nutrients that they're not getting in their diet, to or that they can't extract from the foods that they're eating. You know, if we think back that vegetables as benign these days as cucumber and zucchini actually used to be incredibly bitter, right? So we do not have that in our food chain so much anymore. So particularly the American palate is very much sweet and salty is the key components of the diet. And then also, if we think about other aspects that we can help with bitters, we can look at things like non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is one of the most common conditions today, metabolic syndrome, which the data shows is affecting at least 30% of Americans and 40% of those over 60, especially men. And all sorts of blood sugar imbalances. You can use them to help rebalance gut flora as part of a whole protocol, and so on and so forth. And how they work to support this is that they're capable, the bitters are substances that are capable of strongly stimulating bitter receptors in the taste buds, and they're primarily on the back of the tongue. So if any of you are looking at tongue diagnosis in your practice, it's not that you're going to be able to see the bitter receptors, but they are there and they're in that back region of the tongue. And very often there's a coating over that area of the tongue. So obviously oral hygiene is really important as well. And so, you know, getting rid of any parasites and whatever, or yeast. But these taste buds at the back of the tongue, they're highly specialized G protein coupled receptors, and each taste bud contains about 20 to 30 different sensory cells, and the microvilli of these taste buds extend like little fingers coming out to the opening of the taste buds, and they literally taste the food as you're eating it in the mouth. They then send a signal to the brain, and then via the vagus nerve, they trigger a reflex response to increase gastric acid secretion, digestive enzymes like gastrin and pepsin, and other aspects of digestion. So it's almost like they're priming it, ready to go. So for example, if you're living obviously somewhere like Wisconsin, and in winter, I remember when I was living there, I had a car that I could remote start, which I'd never heard of in my life before until I moved there. And obviously in the middle of winter, it was fabulous because you could start your car, and then by the time you got in it, it was lovely and warm and ready to go. But if we think of bitters like that in terms of when you're tasting them in the mouth, they're getting your digestive process ready. So then when the food drops in, It's ready to be processed and optimized in terms of nutrient extraction. But there's also more, because in research over the last 10 or so years has shown that these bitter receptors are all the way through the gastrointestinal tract. And if we think about the GIT being enormously long, they estimate that there's about 4,000 square feet of gastrointestinal tract length, which is crazy when you think there's only about 20 square feet of skin. Bitter receptors are all the way through that GIT, located in something called the enteroendocrine cells. And the enteroendocrine system is the largest endocrine system in the body, which is really mind-blowing when you think about it, because we don't often think about this being a big system, and it's one of the largest endocrine glands we have, you know. So we know that there are about 30 different peptides being released from these enteroendocrine cells. So if we think about that, that the bitter receptors are all the way down through the GIT, the GIT then becomes a tasting organ, right? It's tasting the bitter molecules. But what's the purpose of that? Well, it's amazing, because once these enteroendocrine cells with the bitter receptors taste the bitter substances, whether it be from bitter botanicals or some really bitter arugula or bitter kale, they trigger various responses, and they mediate the release of various different gut peptides. One in particular is CCK, which is cholecystokinin, and this triggers the release of pancreatic enzymes, bile. It regulates stomach function, actually slows down gastric emptying. And the benefit of that is that as you're eating, you're feeling fuller for longer. And so after you've eaten, you're not going to feel like you want more again. You're not going to be going to the refrigerator and thinking, what can I have to eat now? You know? So you have this feeling of satiety, and also it improves stomach acid production, so your hydrochloric acid. And this is the real gem in it all, is that another key hormone is also secreted, which is an incretin hormone, which stimulates insulin secretion, and it's called glucagon-like peptide 1, or GLP-1 for short. Now, GLP-1 helps to slow gastric emptying as well, so increases satiety, but importantly, really stimulates the release of insulin. And we know all of this because it was based on drug research, so we can thank the biomedical research. A class of diabetes drugs called gliptins are based on this enhancing action of GLP-1. So that's how we know the research relating to bitters and GLP-1. And finally, another peptide, peptide YY, is secreted, which also improves satiety. So if we think about this in summary, the bitters don't need to be tasted in the mouth to have their action. So you can swallow bitter tablets if you wish, rather than holding it in the mouth to taste it, because it will still have the effect throughout the GIT to improve digestion, and importantly improve blood sugar handling by increasing the release of insulin and also improving satiety.
You know, I think you said two things that were really interesting to me. You know, the idea that we have, you know, especially in the United States, more so maybe than other places, remove the bitters from our food, right? And so that's really had an overall effect on probably maybe one of the reasons that we see such a obesity risk and growing risk of diabetes, because, you know, we're not consuming those healthy bitters as frequently anymore.
By using any bitters, so whether or not it's bitter botanicals to start with, if a patient refuses, for example, to eat things like kale, arugula, spinach, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, I say to them, this is a non-negotiable. You have to eat those foods to get the nutrients that you need for life. And we know all of the benefits in terms of those vegetables in particular, the dark leafy greens. They give you folate, they give you lots of, you know, great properties to promote overall health. But if they won't eat them, you can start using bitter botanicals to help change their taste preference, because the more they take the bitter botanicals, I have seen within 7 days that their preference for taste is changing. So they aren't eating as many sweet things or carbohydrates. They're eating more of the bitter foods and, interestingly, more proteins as well, because that it seems to awakening the umami taste buds as well, which is your protein.
That's really fascinating. And, you know, I think there's just a real opportunity for people, you know, to increase their bitter foods. But I love that idea of starting with taking the botanicals to start that process and continuing to take the botanicals to, you know, additionally support it. You know, the other concept I think is interesting that I think most people don't think of, and is that the bitters in your taste buds, we all know, you know, you learned that as a little kid, but we don't think about them throughout the whole GI tract as receptors. And I recently had read an study about, you know, bitter receptors in other parts of the body, even the brain. And so there's really, you know, I think not as strong of understanding, you know, within the, you know, a whole medical community about the role of bitters, and they're underappreciated.
Mm. Yes, I totally agree. I call this the bitter bonanza because we've got a bonanza of bitter receptors everywhere. And, you know, you have to find things that are going to resonate with your patients in how you describe things, haven't you? You know, so I call it the bitter bonanza because there are so many benefits to bitters, but there's also this fact that these bitter receptors is like an exploding field of research whereby we're finding out, as you rightly said, there's bitter receptors everywhere. I mean, they're in the respiratory tract, they're in the olfactory cells, they're in the thyroid, the heart. Interestingly, with the heart, it's been shown that the heart actually has many bitter receptors, and they contribute to vasodilation, relaxation, elasticity, and they're in vascular smooth muscle and other smooth muscle as well, where they, you know, show an antispasmodic effect. So they're actually looking at bitters from a drug research perspective for pregnancy as well. You know, they're in the immune cells, the testes.
It's an underappreciated area, right?
Totally underappreciated. Yeah, totally underappreciated. So, I mean, if we think about that, they're in the thymus, they're in bone marrow, they're in immune cells. Now, one of the key herbs for immunity from the Ayurvedic tradition is andrographis. And andrographis is one of the most intensely bitter herbs you could ever taste. I think it's actually worse than gentian in terms of its level of bitterness. So you know, maybe most people prefer that in a tablet rather than as a liquid. Definitely my patients do. But if you think about some of the key herbs for the immunity, they are bitter. Even echinacea is bitter. And also a key herb for mucous membrane health, because bitter receptors have been shown in mucous membranes and respiratory system. So one of the key herbs for that is the bitter herb golden seal, Hydrastis canadensis. That's very bitter. And that is one of the most magical herbs for the mucous membranes. It's a mucous membrane trophorestorative. So we need to be really looking at our bitter herbs from these remarkable aspects of broad general health application. And another recent discovery in terms of allergies being just a magical solution for many different allergy conditions is the black cumin seed. And in Arabic, it's known as the seed of blessing, Nigella sativa, because they called it the cure for all ills except death. Well, black cumin is bitter. So, you know, these areas of herbs or botanicals for bitter application well beyond digestion, and that's what I would really like to stress to everyone listening today, is it's way more than gut function.
Right. So if somebody was just getting started, what would be your approach to help them kind of initially get started with bitters if they're recommending them for their patients? What does that like initial start look like?
It's super simple. The three key herbs, gentian, wormwood, and feverfew, have been shown to stimulate the greatest number of bitter receptors in a combination. So using the three together really help. Because bitters are cooling, energetically cooling, you want to combine them with warming herbs. These are called aromatic digestives. So the classic ginger, which also gives you antispasmodic effects, and it's also a very gentle prokinetic as well, combined with the TCM herb chen pi, which is aged tangerine peel. Those two, ginger and chen pi, are beautiful aromatic digestives. They work to support a warming of the digestion and release spasm and help movement. And the optimal is to get people to take them 15 to 30 minutes before every meal. Now, that's not always that easy, right? Because we all forget things. So I tell patients to keep them on the kitchen counter. So as soon as you walk into the kitchen to prepare a meal, you just take it as soon as you walk in the kitchen. It's like Pavlov's dog. You just take it. Or you can set an alarm or a calendar reminder on your smartphone, because most people eat their food at regular times a day. Or if you've got one of those apps that reminds you of when to take your tablets, you can just plug it into there. If you forget, it doesn't matter, right? But it's ideal if you can take it earlier before you have your meal, because what we've known from the research is that the priming, so the CCK, and all of the other things I spoke about, the GLP-1, etc., start about 15 to 20 minutes after you've taken the bitters. So you're going to get optimal absorption, nutrient extraction, etc. So you take this formulation, ideally suck on it for about 30 seconds before swallowing to trigger that oral cavity, brain, vagus nerve effects. However, if you absolutely hate the taste of bitter botanicals, and there are a very small percentage of people that are what's called super tasters, so they're genetically sensitive to bitterness, and literally if you gave them anything bitter, they would, you know, be sick, they would vomit. Now, I've never in my clinical experience of 20 plus years experienced anyone like this, so I'm talking about an incredibly small percentage, but it's good to be aware. So they can just swallow it. Or if you're just starting out with some in the beginning and they're like, oh, this is disgusting, then just get them to swallow it. Because remember, those bitter taste buds are the whole way down the GIT. So they're going to work anyway. Now, if they only remember for two meals a day instead of three, that's fine. Okay, so you just got to try and get it into them as many times as you can in a day. So if it's only two times, because that's all they can remember, take one with each meal, preferably 15 to 30 minutes before.
I think that's great advice. As we think about how people kind of, you know, work into it, you need that practicality, because a lot of times people don't, you know, think about those simple things. And, you know, if they suck on it for a little bit over time, you'll get, you know, desensitized to it, you know, your bitter receptors will activate, you know. I remember in undergrad learning about, you know, the amount of times you need to change and your taste buds, and, you know, really eight plus is what, you know, a lot of the food science research says. So I love that idea, just starting slow and getting going. Now, we talked a little bit about other aspects where bitters have effect, but do you want to expand upon maybe a couple of the health challenges beyond digestion? We started to talk, you know, a little bit about black cumin seed and how that could have effect, but is there a couple key herbs that you'd like to talk about, bitter herbs that would have an effect in other conditions?
Yes, I'd love to. So it's very interesting. When I first started using this combination that I spoke about, because it has feverfew in there, which is actually a bitter herb, very bitter, the original research on feverfew was done on migraines in a migraine clinic in the UK, actually in London. And the research was shown that feverfew was, you know, really helpful if taken every day as a prophylactic to prevent the or minimize the occurrence and severity of migraines. And I previously used to use, you know, feverfew in other combinations, you know, typically as a liquid formulation. But I found that even this, you know, tablet formulation with the two other bitters in there help with migraines as well. So taking it on a daily basis reduce the incidence and severity of migraines in my patients. So, you know, it's funny how you sort of come across these findings as you use things, because I'd always used a lot of bitters previously, but never thought that that was the connection for migraines until this new research came out. Now, black cumin seed, amazing research has come out for use in hay fever and allergies. And even there was a trial in asthma as well. So I would encourage, if your doctors listening want to know more about that, go to PubMed and look up that research, because it's really compelling. And they did randomized placebo-controlled trials, and they also trialed it against various well-known drug classes for those health issues too. So don't forget the black cumin for any allergies and asthma. Now, for blood sugar handling, you can use this combination, but if it's more serious, you can look at things like berberine to help with healthy lipids. So if you've got patients with dyslipidemia and also insulin resistance. And then another combination I like with bitter melon and cinnamon and fenugreek works very well for insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome. And the majority of that formulation is bitter. You know, it has the black cumin seed in once again. So you're thinking about insulin resistance, you're thinking about dyslipidemia, metabolic syndrome, big issue in the United States and Australia. You know, we're not immune from these problems as well. And also as part of a supportive protocol in type 2 diabetes, very, very beneficial. I've even got a patient with type 1 diabetes who I've used bitter herbs with in terms of the combination I just spoke about. For metabolic syndrome, I used that with her, and she has one of those automated insulin pumps, and found that her insulin reduction was halved by using this. She couldn't believe it. It was the best outcome we'd ever had. The other thing is that if patients are going away on holiday, right, Of course you're going to overeat when you go on holiday, and you're going to want to eat things that you don't normally eat. So I have a lot of patients that love to go to Europe and want to eat, you know, the beautiful croissants in France and go to the amazing patisseries and eat all the beautiful breads. And by using some bitter herbs, some bitter botanicals, they can eat whatever they like and not have any digestive issues like bloating, spasm, you know, gas, etc., and just eat to their heart's content, which is a good thing when you go on holiday. And also, we all love to eat too much and have just try different things as well.
Of course.
And some of our bitter botanicals are actually great anti-parasitic herbs. So one of the herbs we've talked about already is wormwood, and we have that tradition of use of using the wormwood, specifically the Artemisia absinthium, for parasites and worms. So, you know, using it maybe in a combination with black walnut hulls, for example, but they're very, very good at just cleaning up the gut. I think of it like a gut overhaul as soon as you start using bitters, and you can combine them as part of a stealth pathogen protocol as well. Oh, one more thing I've just forgot, and very important as well, is our elderly patients. Now, our digestion declines over the years, and by the time people get into their sort of late 60s, 70s and beyond, they typically lose a lot of their appetite and their ability to eat a broad range of foods. You know, they find that foods really irritate their gut or cause them lots of issues. And in England, we actually call it the tea and toast brigade, because they love to drink lots of pots of tea. and all they can eat is toast, because they find that anything else that they eat just causes them a lot of tummy issues. Now, I have found bitter botanicals to be amazing with the tea and toast brigade. And so I'd encourage people to, rather than just over supplementing with things like digestive enzymes and hydrochloric acid, that you can actually still revive an aging digestive system by utilizing bitter botanicals and bitter foods. But it really is a bitter bonanza, because we've touched very much on the surface of what bitters can do today. And I literally could do an 8-hour seminar on bitter botanicals and all of their clinical applications. So what I'd like to encourage all clinicians is to use bitters. Even if you're not using botanicals at the moment, for whatever reason in your office, start with bitters. And I know that Kerry Bone has his favourite of echinacea. He's obsessed with echinacea. Well, I'm obsessed with bitter botanicals, and they are the number one selling product in my clinical practice. That's how popular they are, because they work so quickly, and your patients will see and feel the difference. And in today's society, where everyone wants instant results, otherwise they're going to find another clinician, we need to get them feeling the effects of what we're using very quickly. So start with the combination I'm absolutely obsessed with, which is the gentian, feverfew and wormwood, with the warming aromatic digestives of ginger and chen pea. Suck on it for 30 seconds. Ideally 15 to 30 minutes before meals. I guarantee that if you start using this with your patients, you'll be absolutely amazed with the clinical outcomes, even in older, in the older generation. And the key thing is your patients are going to be convinced, right? My patients won't stop taking their bitters. Even though they don't technically need them anymore, they say, Amanda, I just love them. I don't want to give them up. And remember that the bitter botanicals, beyond digestion that you need to be really thinking about incorporating are things like berberine from philodendron, the black cumin seed, and also think about metabolic syndrome patients. How many of those are walking into your practice and maybe they're complaining about fatigue or hormonal issues, or they might be feeling like brain fog, etc. Drill down and understand whether or not it's actually metabolic syndrome that's driving this cascade of symptoms, rather than focusing in on just hormones, for example, or just brain fog. Because if you can resolve the metabolic syndrome, and you can use bitter herbs like I've talked about, the black cumin seed, bitter melon, fenugreek, and cinnamon in a combination, and together with the berberine, you will actually really address the core issue, the root cause of what's going on for them. I estimate in my practice about 50% of people are coming in with metabolic syndrome. So you have to identify that as being the root cause. Once you've addressed that, you then can address the other issues that are prevailing at that time. So I'd like to say, you know, watch this space in terms of bitter receptors research and the application of bitter botanicals, because it's a bitter bonanza.
Well, thank you for getting down to the root cause of this bitter bonanza. And I just think this was a really interesting and inspiring how, as practitioners, we really should be thinking about bitters, and it can have that, you know, quick effect and really help your patients to see change. So thank you so much, Amanda, for your time today. And this was just a great discussion. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
For more on bitter herbs and other medicinal herbs, visit holisticmatters.com. That's holistic with a W. We'll have a variety of time-stamped references and notes from today on the podcast page for this episode. And if you missed last month's episode, don't forget to check it out to hear an in-depth conversation on herbs, sleep, and stress management. We'll be back in September again on the first Friday of the month with more on herbal medicine. This podcast was brought to you by the Holistic Matters podcast series from holisticmatters.com, powered by Standard Process. The music featured on this episode comes from a song called New Day by Lee Rosevere, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License.